Delighted to have as my guest today, Chesney Hawkes, who's a bit of a living treasure now, a really national treasure. How are you, Chesney?
I'm good. I'm doing very well, thank you.
I'm very pleased to hear that. Now, you're in the middle of or just starting a tour called Smash It to Pieces, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Well, I just finished the European leg and we're heading out to the UK on Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to be in, the reason you're speaking to me as much as anything is because you're going to be in Birmingham and Manchester, aren't you, on the 13th and the 20th of this month?
That is correct, yes. Band on the Wall in Manchester and at the O2 in Birmingham, yes.
Sounds really good. What's the how's it been reached by the audience? What have they thought about it in the European leg?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been so fun. I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, I haven't really done a hell of a lot of headline touring for quite a long time. So it's really nice to kind of reconnect with the audience. And, like, you know, the truth is people that are coming to see me now, like, you know, we're all kind of a similar age. We've all been through similar things in life, marriage and kids and, you know, life experiences, and we all kind of have a similar, you know, cultural reference points and sense of humor. And it feels now like a bit of a community. And, you know, these people are bringing their kids to the gig now. So it's a fun night. It really is.
Yeah, it sounds really good. And of course, one of your tracks you released was "I'm a Man, Not a Boy," and I think that reflects now. It's very prescient, really, because that's what you are now in the business. You're a man, not a boy, and you're able to be more reflective and so on, aren't you, with the music?
Yeah, I guess so. It is quite funny because I've been digging into some of the old songs and kind of resurfacing. And there's a song on the Buddy Song album called "I'm Young," which I have now, repurposed as "I'm middle-aged."
That sounds really good and sounds just like your sense of humour that we came across on the TV recently. And, of course, you've got the album which came out late last year. I really enjoyed it. I've dipped into it and really enjoyed the music. It's really good. I'm probably not your demographic, but it really is good.
Well, that's the thing about... Thank you, by the way. Thank you so much. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, people do have preconceptions about certain artists, and I'm sure I'm no exception. You know, there's a lot of people out there that only know me for one song and maybe wouldn't necessarily listen to a Chesney Hawkes record, you know. But you know, the truth is, you know, it's an album full of subjects that, you know, a lot of people could probably relate to. And, you know, it's like I got to a certain age and I realized it's like important to kind of look back in life and deal with kind of certain traumas and things like that we've all got in there. And you know, I use songwriting as a form of therapy in a way. And there are songs on this album that people have really related to, you know, because we all go through similar things in life, you know, songs about loss and, you know, childhood trauma and things like that. And, you know, it's been quite a journey for me, actually, because I've been quite vulnerable on this record.
Yeah, I found the one really poignant about the loss of a young person in your life.
Yes, yeah, there's a couple of songs like that. You're probably talking about The Meaning of This.
Yeah,
is
I
that
am.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, that, you know, she took her own life. It was a friend of ours as a family, and, you know, my kids kind of were young, but they saw her as kind of an older sister. She was somebody I was working with and you know, a young artist that I was writing songs for and stuff, who became kind of part of the family. And so her loss was huge in our family. It was kind of a bit of a ground zero moment, you know. And you know, I knew I had a song in me for Kiki, but it took a while for it for me to be able to kind of address it, you know, and it came out on this album. So that's one of the songs I actually play live. So yeah, if you come to the shows, you'll get to see me perform it.
Yeah, as you say, it's not just a memorial tour. It's also a therapy for you, isn't it?
Totally. It's very cathartic. You know, it's I almost feel like some of these songs, like they kind of like had to be written. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, you were born into a family of showbiz, weren't you? Because your mum was a showbiz host, a show host on TV. Your dad, of course, Len Chip Hawkes from the Tremolos, who's the spitting image of you, isn't he? Or you're the spitting image of him.
People do say that. They do say that, yeah.
So
yeah, he was a bit of a heartthrob in the 60s.
I can imagine. Really can imagine. So was your childhood full of, people drifting in and out of your house who were famous on the television, etc.?
Yeah, it was. My dad's friends, mainly musicians, but also he was, he had kind of like famous friends, like, bands like The Searchers and The Marmalade and Herman's Hermits and Dave D. Dozy, Beaky Mick and Titch. And he even toured with Beatles and The Who and, massive bands like that. And so we kind of saw it, quite a lot growing up, me and my brother and sister. And and as you say, my mother was also kind of famous in her own right. She was one of the golden girls on the Golden Shop for some of your older listeners. we were never going to be, accountants or anything like that. It was always going to be something in the music industry, I think.
So eventually your big chance came. I've not been cheesy and used the title of it before, but of course your big hit that you're renowned for, it came along, written by Nick Kershaw. How is it you got your hands on it?
Well, I just did a film. This was back when I was very young, 17, 18. I had just starred in a film with Roger Daltrey called Buddy Song. And the soundtrack to that record was pretty much recorded and done. And the record label, maybe we need a few more songs. And I'd written a few songs on this record. And, we kind of like put it out to the music industry and see if there's any other songs that maybe we could find, And my dad knew Nick Kershaw's publisher, and they were having lunch, and he played him a song. He said, "What do you think of this?" And it was obviously a Nick song, because it was Nick's voice is very recognizable. And my dad was like, oh wow, so is that a new Nick Kershaw album? Chesney will be happy, because he's a big Nick Kershaw fan. And he said, "Well, it is Nick Kershaw, but it's not a new album. It's just a bunch of songs that he's looking to get other artists to record." And that's how it came along. He brought it back to me on a cassette. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, he brought that to us. We were recording at Abbey Road. I'll never forget. And he put that song on at Studio 3 in Abbey Road in front of the whole team and played it. And to be honest with you, it didn't go down very well. They were like, sounds like a Nick Kershaw throwout, As was literally the words that they were using. So I was a bit disappointed that they didn't love it. But so it nearly didn't happen, is what I'm saying. But the record label in the end said, "Hey, do you know what? Maybe there is something in this song, So let's get the boy's vocal on it, So I ended up meeting Nick that next week, and it all kicked off from there.
Yeah, and of course you've parodied it, you've sung it in all different sort of circumstances, haven't you? You appeared on television with it, all sorts of things. So it's been a real big earner for you, hasn't it?
Well, I would say that it's kind of like it was a galactic central point for my career, So yeah. I try not to be like defined by it if I can. But of course I understand how there's a lot of people out there that, maybe haven't followed my career since then and only know me for that song. And that's why I encourage people to come and see me live, on this tour.
Absolutely. Is there any, I ask this very often, especially people in the 60s, where songs which should have been hits weren't, but why weren't some of your later ones bigger hits? Because they were good tunes, really. What happens?
Yeah. I think really there's all sorts of things that happen in the music industry. It's like everything has to align, like the stars all have to kind of come together at the right time. It's like right artist, right song, right timing, right people, the one and only, everything aligned, and it just happened. I'm always fascinated by those questions, actually, Dave, because there are so many, great artists, great records, great songs that you would never hear because for whatever reason, the timings weren't right, or it just didn't come together. You know, it's like I sometimes think if I'd have put the one and only out maybe even 6 months later than I did in 1991, even 6 months to a year later, pop was kind of like uncool again for a little bit there, because, like, you know, Nirvana came along and Soundgarden and all these kind of rock superstars came out, and then it was suddenly not very cool to be, you know, your heartthrob pop song guy. but it was in 1991, early 1991, it was kind of, the timing was right for that, if you see what I mean. So yeah. So who knows if you knew the recipe for a big hit record, you would be, you know, utilizing those ingredients over and over, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And that's sort of the answer I get from everyone. They just don't know why they're hit. So when I've spoken to people at the Trems, you know, they've said, well, we just don't know why that one wasn't a hit, a huge hit, but that one was. But there we are. Yeah. And talking about the Trems, you have kept your dad's legacy alive, haven't you? You've played in the Trems for a while, or you did play for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, my dad hasn't been well, and I guess it was probably maybe kind of 4 or 5 years ago, and he called me up, and he was just starting one of these 60s gold tours with the Searchers and the Marmalade, I think it was, and Mummers and Puffers, and he said, I'm just not well enough to do these first two shows, would you mind just filling in? So I was like, yeah, of course, mate. So I filled in, because I know the songs, you know, and I filled in for those two shows, and then those two shows became two tours, and I ended up being the lead singer of the Tremolos for a while, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, you brought yourself back into sort of public view, really, as well as appearances playing that song, but you've also been in a number of reality shows, haven't you? You've been in The Games, you've been in Hit Me Baby One More Time, and so on. Were those enjoyable? Did you have to learn new skills, for instance, for The Games?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed those kind of moments. You know, I like a reality show where you get to learn a skill, you know? Like, as you say, The Games, that was really fun, because I got to kind of learn how to, you know, high dive, and, you know, I had Fatima at a Whitbread teaching me how to throw a javelin, and, you know, it was an incredible experience. And the same with Dancing on Ice, you know, it's like you first get on the ice, and you can't even stand up properly, you know, and then by the end of 3-4 months, you're like holding a girl up, you know, above your head and spinning and jumping. It's amazing what you can do if you, you know, put your mind to it, and if you have the right, you know, obviously I was being taught by like Torvald and Dean and stuff, you know, it's pretty, it's an amazing opportunity, you know, but it's weird because, you know, us kind of celebrities like myself, like we end up doing things, loads of things, we're doing everything but what we were famous for in the first place, if you know what I mean. I did MasterChef, so I've been a chef, I've been a high diver, I've been an ice skater. It's a kind of a strange world that I'm kind of inhabiting now.
Did the breaking your ankle, you broke your ankle, I think, didn't you, on Dancing on Ice, and had to withdraw. Does that put you off Dancing on Ice or ice skating completely?
It didn't. I went back on the ice, because I actually really enjoyed the ice skating, funnily enough. The ice skating was fun. It's the dancing bit that I don't think I was particularly good at. Maybe I would have got better, but I, you know, when you're on the ice every single day for 3 or 4 months, and you get to kind of love it, and it becomes a bit of an obsession, you know. So when I got put out of action by breaking my leg, I was disappointed in not be able to kind of do the show, but I was also kind of like disappointed that I wasn't going to be able to get on the ice, you know what I mean? I wasn't going to be able to do that anymore. So yeah, but once I was healed, I did get back on the ice. I have to admit, I haven't been back on over the last few years, but whenever I get a chance to go ice skating, I'll do it.
So we all remember you now, of course. Everybody knows you from Celebrity Big Brother, where you came across as a really nice guy of that group of people.
Yeah, that was a fun experience. You know, I'm up for a challenge, Dave, and I just felt like, you know, that one came along. Let me tell you why I accepted that one, to be honest with you. I lost my best friend about this time last year. And I had this magical hour with him literally the day before he died. And he knew he was dying, and he just basically said to me, you know, obviously life is short. Go out there, smash it to pieces, say yes to the crazy stuff, live out loud. He gave me that speech, you know, and literally he died the next day. And then a couple of weeks later, I got the call from Big Brother. I was like, well, I've got to say yes, haven't I, you know? So, yeah. You know, I looked to the heavens and I said, well, thank you, mate, for that one.
Yes, I was going to say, and that was really good. Is there anyone that you made particular friends within there?
In Big Brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really good mates with Danny Beard and Donna Preston. They were kind of probably my takeaways there. But to be honest with you, they were kind enough to put me in with some pretty lovely people. You know, I'm still friends with Patsy Palmer and Angelica. She was great. Angelica Bell. Even Jack, you know, I still stay in contact with him and Chris and Jojo. And there's so many in there, Daley Thompson. There were so many great people that, you know, I think I was very lucky.
Yeah, but it was a great show. And as I say, you came across as a great guy. Now, you said about seize the day. So reality shows, if somebody came along, I'm a celebrity, perhaps, or traitors. Have you got the right talents to be a traitor?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I love The Traitors. I've been watching it. It's so good. And so, you know, it's such an amazing show. So yeah, of course, I would never be able to turn down The Traitors. That would be like my absolute. I would love that. But you know, I'm up for. As I said before, I'm up for a challenge, and I've still got Vic, my friend's words hanging in my ear, saying say yes to the crazy stuff and go and smash it to pieces and live out loud and seize the day. So yeah, bring it on.
I was going to say Strictly Come Dancing, but you've already said maybe with dancing isn't that great.
Well, but even with that, you know, I mean, I would never say never. If I was to do that, my journey would be an arc for sure.
Yeah. Now, you and I share one characteristic, one thing together. I think we're both Virgos. Am I right? You're a Virgo?
Yes, I am.
So do you have the traits that the good traits, like, you desire to work with others and help others, and you are very diligent, very analytical. Is that you?
I'm definitely, I love working with others for sure. You know, obviously I have to in my work when I'm playing live, I've got my band and everything else, and I have to, you know, to be in conjunction with them. But I love co-writing as well, you know, so I've got, you know, my favorite co-writers over the years, people like Nick Kershaw. So analytical, I don't know about that side of it. I'm a little bit more kind of like on the creative side, and kind of a little bit more kind of, out there, and my analytical side I haven't kind of honed in on that bit yet. But I'd like to be more that way.
The things I keep getting moaned at about me by my partner and so on is, you know, that I am all work and no play, that I'm a bit too self-critical. And deep down inside, I'm a shy person. Are those the things about you?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. There is a little bit of the shyness for sure. You know, you wouldn't know it kind of seeing me in life, whatever, because I obviously spend my life on a stage saying, look at me. But, you know, there is a deep down. There's a little bit of a, you know, I just want to kind of hunker down and be at home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But you're helping others and so on. Were you not? Are you still involved with a people trafficking charity?
I'm involved in all sorts of charities. My main charity right now is Calm, which is Campaign Against Living Miserably. It's a suicide prevention charity. I told you about my friend just now, and so. That's my main thing. But I mean, there are all sorts of different charities that I'm involved in and that I'm ambassador for.
So that's really good. I can't let you go without my other passion is football. I do football commentaries and so on. And you're a big West Ham supporter, I believe.
Yes.
So what on earth's going on?
I know. It's hard to say, isn't it? It's, well, I mean, I think if we end up going down this season, I think we'll be one of the best teams to have ever gone down, because we are playing really, really well at the moment. And it's just like, it's like, it is a little bit too little too late. I think we lost it the first half of the season, really. And I think we wasted too much time on Graham Potter. I think Nuno is great, and I think he's doing a good job, and he's turning around the team. But it may be just that little bit too little too late. But we shall see. We shall see. You know, we're at that point where we are now dependent on other teams above us not winning.
Yeah. Well, if you go down, you'll be at Stoke City. You'll be there watching them at Stoke City, of course, won't you? So.
Are you a Stoke man, are you?
We are Stoke people, yes. Yeah, so,
yeah. Well, you know what? Proper football, mate.
Anyway, one last word then. You've got your Smash It To Pieces tour. Give me one last plug for it.
Oh, well, listen, I want people to come along and leave their inhibitions on the door, come to have a good time, and relive their youth with me. It's really going to be such a fun night. It really is. It's different every night. It's a party atmosphere, and you're just going to have a good time. So please don't hold back. There's only a few tickets left, actually, so get in there quick.
And that's great. Thanks very much for your time, Chesney. It's been a brilliant talk with you.
Oh, and I've really enjoyed it as well. Thank you for having me.